trembling, that's okay, but you engage it. So 4 years ago, on September 29th, we decided to engage a revelation. We engaged the revelation of two local churches, Valley Christian Center and Hope Chapel, coming together under this expression that we now call Echo Hills Church. We birthed something. Mark was just reminding me that, you know, that I wasn't making the connection, but the Shekinah glory of God, the picture there in the Hebrew is to cradle an infant. The idea that we birthed something 4 years ago. How well have we really carried it? How well have you carried it? And listen, I'm going to show you in a minute. It's not about just the local church. It's not about a building. It's not about even the title Echo Hills. But there's something about stewarding or carrying what God entrusts to us. And what he entrusted to us was a vision. That church is going to look different. A couple months ago, we hosted this Idaho State Intercessory Prayer Gathering. And one of the ladies, the intercessor, Stacy Mueller out of Sandpoint, came and just shared with Josh and I. And she's since then been here through a couple times and something was declared prophetically. And she embraced our vision better than maybe even I or Pastor Mike embraced it. Because what she saw and what we saw early on as we started to merge and move towards birthing something new in the spirit is that we are not echoing what man and the world is saying. We are not repeating or being an echo of this realm. We have been called to resonate and resound with the glory of God, the kingdom of God. And it is still echoing through time. And the picture that she shared and prophetically decreed and again embraced and talking to her was like, that is who we are, is that it is a forever increasing sound. It doesn't dissipate. The kingdom of God does not dissipate. The kingdom of God does not grow quiet. The kingdom of God is not becoming less than the kingdom of this world becoming more. It's the exact opposite. And so the message that you and I are carrying, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is the same message that Jesus released, that Isaiah prophesied, and that God established in the garden. When we talk about singing these songs, and in these songs talk about, I'm getting rid of my religion, James, if you know your word, talks about a pure religion. And what we know religion to be is the process and mannerism in which relationship is established both between God and with man. But what has happened is that we have corrupted pure religion, meaning relationship between God and man, and we have perverted it in such a manner that we do have to break out of religious mindsets. We have to break out of the religiosity or the witchcraft and the gossip and the slander that comes upon us when we don't like what the local church is doing or our pastor is doing or a member is doing. And we have to go back to the garden. And in the garden, we actually find the first expression of religion. We find Adam and Eve committing sin, and in an effort to deal with their sin, they engage a religious act of covering themselves. Religion, when it's not pure, is about covering and hiding our sin. So when Jesus shows up and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what he's saying is, hey, some of you need to take off those things that you're using to cover up sin and brokenness. And yet imagine yourself not knowing the power and the grace and the love of God. Why on earth would you ever want to become vulnerable? And so what Jesus demonstrates and has empowered us to understand is that it's an invitation to return. It's an invitation to know that, yes, you can trust me. Yes, we can get rid of those filthy rags and I can clothe you with my glory. I can clothe you in righteousness. And there is no work that you and I could have ever done to make our relationship right with God. It had to be the Son of God. It had to be God himself incarnate on the earth, manifesting the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The sinless nature of God in flesh, representing you and I and taking on the sin of the world. And in exchange, like that backpack picture Chad gave us, is that you and I now get the gift of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when we start to dive into this and you start to marinate and memorize and allow the truth of Jesus's words, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, all of a sudden what you're going to come in contact with are those things that want to stay and cover up. So part of what you're doing this week, part of what you're doing right now in this walk that we call life is invading these places that have shrouds of covering over them, and you're just bringing the glory of the Lord. You're bringing the peeling back, the unfolding, not in our strength, but in the Spirit of God's strength. And the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And you get to walk into an environment. You get to walk into a place. And yes, your senses might get activated. And yes, you might start to see. But what is the purpose of all that? It is to reveal the kingdom of God. It is to stand in that place as salt and light and change the atmosphere. Because what we believe is that communities transform because transformed people begin to commune together. So when we say that we want to see transformation of our communities, when we want to say that, Lord, bring us and take us into the nations so that the glory of the Lord may be known, we're not just talking about creating a space free of people. Because that would be a whole lot easier, right? Oh, praise God, there's no people here. It's easy to worship. I don't have to deal with personalities or attitudes or cultural differences. No, we get to stand in a place with other people that are on the journey, that are in relationship, that are experiencing transformation. And so in Matthew 3, what we find is Jesus's cousin, known as John the Baptist, and his last name was not the Baptist. It's what he carried because he was a baptizer. He began to understand the nature of the Word of God. He began to understand his calling and the process that God had brought him to begin to prepare a way. Prepare a way for what? The kingdom of God. And what we find in Matthew 3 in this verse is that John the Baptist is bringing a new wineskin. He's bringing a different perspective of how to see the kingdom, how to receive the kingdom, how to access the kingdom. Jesus mentions the church or the word ecclesia only 3 times according to the Gospels. But he mentions the kingdom 55 times. 55 times according to the 4 Gospels, Jesus is talking about the kingdom. He's talking about a domain. And he's talking about all creation. The earth in particular where we reside and inhabit. And that king's domain is where he's called to rule and reign. And you and I, as we are inhabitants of this kingdom, we now have a king who wants us to be empowered to work and go about his work in the kingdom. And in that kingdom, there are these outposts. Those local outposts are called the church. When they gather and they begin to assemble as the ecclesia, meaning the governmental authority that is called to be ambassadors, meaning we represent the king in his kingdom. So when Jesus starts to introduce this and John is setting him up, there is a challenge in the culture to embrace, what are you talking about? Because access to the kingdom prior to this moment in the old wineskin was through animal sacrifice. It was by bringing your offering before a priest who would stand as a representative of you before God. And what Jesus and John are about ready to do is they're going to mess with the whole religious system that has literally covered up the sin of humanity through programs and process and idols and sacrifice that has lost its value. And what started off as a prophetic picture that there would be a sacrifice, Jesus is known as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The sacrifice of the lamb, the goats, the bulls were all prophetic pictures. They were never meant to be religious coverings for our sin. They were meant to set us up to walk in the freedom. And so now Jesus and John are on the scene and they're saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? It means that now you and I don't have to go to a priest to get our sins absolved. We don't have to go to a synagogue in their system and a pharisaical system where now we get instructed by a rabbi on how to cover our sin, deal with our sin, navigate sin. What we actually will end up getting access to, and what you and I have access to if you are a born again believer, is Jesus Christ, who is now our high priest. And he stands before all of heaven and earth and mediates now for you and I. And he didn't just depart this earth, he gave us his spirit so that you and I would walk in his likeness by his spirit. And as he says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now we get to go out and lead people in an invitation of repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so John the Baptist here is saying in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And he began to recognize, if you go to verse 2, that there is this attribute that we all have to embrace. And it's this entrance into the kingdom and it's repentance. And we laid that foundation a little bit last week. But what I want to show you as we navigate the rest of our morning and send you out this week is where things begin to get even more profound. Because what happens right after this is that many of you know Jesus goes and gets baptized. He says, it's for righteousness' sake. I need to be baptized. John doesn't want to baptize him. Jesus gets baptized. The Spirit of God immediately takes Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days where he fasts and he prays. And many of you know it, that he's tempted by the devil 3 times. And all temptations lead to things that Jesus is establishing as the kingdom. And then on those last days, these angels show up. Can you imagine Jesus after 40 days of fasting and praying and establishing himself in the spirit, connecting heaven and earth, declaring that now I will be an ambassador. I will be the representation of heaven on earth. Whatever your will, Father, is, whatever your word is, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go fulfill it. I'm going to go out. I've broken a lot of ground. And all of a sudden the angels show up and they start to minister to him. Could you imagine Jesus going, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you guys again. You know, I've longed for this day. And they know him and he knows them and he gets equipped to go out because he's still carrying the likeness of man. And in Matthew chapter 4, we find him all of a sudden beginning to start to preach the kingdom of God. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he says this. He says, from that time, Jesus began to preach. Say, preach. Say, I will preach. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus began to preach. He began to go out and begin to declare that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we could stop here and say, this is awesome. Yes, Jesus, well done. I've got your word. It's preaching to me. But it's not what he meant. What he meant was the word is alive and living. And the word is in you and is on you. The Spirit, his Spirit is with us. Now you go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But watch what happens when we start to do this. Because if you go to Matthew 10, after he's chosen his disciples and he begins to minister and starts to see miracles, we find in chapter 10, Matthew's recorded it this way. And it says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them what?
Power.
He gave them dunamis power, meaning what you say will be done. He gave them power, and he gave them power specifically over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He gave them power. Now notice this. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's about ready to say, you go and preach. Because when we jump down to verse 7, we see him saying to his disciples, and as you go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what did he have to give them before he sent them out?
Power.
So what has he given you and I before he ever sent us out?
Power.
So you have been given power. The power of the Holy Spirit. We see this in Acts chapter 2 with the empowering of the body of Christ through the baptism and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We call it Pentecost. But it's an everyday empowerment. It's an empowerment that should be stewarded. It's an empowerment that can actually grow. It's an empowerment that we just got done singing about. Lord, let your fullness. See, some of you have experienced the power of God as a recipient. Somebody's prayed for you, laid hands on you, rebuked a demon, set you free, invoked the name of Jesus, and things began to move. And you're walking in a place of experience, knowing I encountered the power of God, and that's beautiful and that's great, and we're going to celebrate that. But if we didn't disciple you, or you weren't discipled to then turn around and go do the same for other, we missed the fullness of it. We missed the fullness. It wasn't about just receiving the encounter with power. It wasn't just about getting the benefits of the power of God. It was about being filled with it and going and preaching the word of God. Because as you go, preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at verse 8 here. This is what's supposed to happen. This is the litmus test for all of us this morning. No shame, no condemnation. I'm in the same boat and I need to get out of it. But when the kingdom of heaven is at hand and you and I are preaching in the power that God gave us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, there are some things that were really specific. So if you're sitting here wondering, Lord, what should I do with my life? And now if you're a woman, you're probably not grabbing your goatee. But, you know, what should I do with my life? Lord, I don't know what my purpose is. Lord, I don't know what you've called me to. Lord, I don't know how to respond to this situation. Can I just encourage you? Matthew 10, 7, and 8 tell you exactly where to start. And yes, it'll get more specific, and yes, it'll get more detailed, and yes, it'll expound, but there's a starting place right here. Are you preaching the word? And what does it look like when you preach the word? Because if it doesn't involve an invitation to come and experience a return of freedom, then chances are we need to come back to the word and let Jesus himself begin to shape the message we're preaching. Are you declaring that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Meaning whatever your need is, there is an answer right here and right now. But what it doesn't promise is that you and I would be free of suffering. What it doesn't promise is that you and I are going to walk down golden streets of easiness. What it doesn't promise is that all your answers are going to be available. What it does tell us is that by faith and faithfulness, God's kingdom is at hand. And we will endure and we will overcome and we should see breakthrough. But we get to this place where all of a sudden now there's a little bit of like stickiness is what I would call it. Of like, oh, prickly. Like the kingdom of heaven is at hand and we're supposed to do what? Heal the sick. Now, I don't believe Matthew or Jesus laid this out in any order of specific, like, ease. But if they did, just know that healing the sick is, like, where we all start. Heal the sick. If somebody's sick, you should be going, oh, yes, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come on. Let me get my hands on them. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it's called to heal the sick. We get to preach. And there's different types of sickness. There's the emotional bondage, the oppression. There's demonic sickness. There's the effect of witchcraft. Witchcraft is the sin of rebellion. And so when we speak over somebody against what God wants them to do, we're literally barfing on them and covering them and sliming them. Some of you have been slimed by a lot of witchcraft. And so you need to preach to yourself, I am healed in the name of Jesus Christ through repentance. And the power washer of the Holy Spirit gets going and just hoses you off. But heal the sick. So first assignment, start to preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And see what begins to happen with the sick people in your life. Because he didn't cause sickness. Do you see how that's a confusing thing? Well, wait, we're supposed to preach the kingdom of heaven at hand and heal the sick, but I believe that God causes sickness. That's a divided God, and that's not our God. He didn't cause it. Now, why he allows it and why it doesn't always break free and why people still perish from it, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. But nonetheless, we should persevere. Once you got that down and you feel like tool belt full, sick people getting healed all around me, try the next one. Search out a leper. You might have to go to another country, I don't know. But search them out. There's spiritual leprosy, yes. Skin things, you know. I mean, I had a Bible where I just crossed out the word. I did cross out the word leper. But I started writing acne, eczema, you know, all these different skin things. Like, Lord, I don't want to be limited by just leprosy. If there are skin issues, let's start praying for them. Let's start sending people down to the river and watching them get washed off. I shared with you some of the stories of a church in North Carolina baptizing people. Just not for salvation, but for cleansing. Salvation, there's baptism, but then there's baptism for all these other things. And people with skin diseases are, imagine this, if you will. I know I'm painting a lot of pictures. You're behind somebody that's covered in some skin disease, watching them get into a pool. You're next with a broken arm and you're going to get baptized wanting to heal. And that person gets baptized and they come up and now the water is swirling with all this stuff and fumes are coming off and their skin is totally clean. Like, how eager are you to get into that tub? I mean, seriously, that's where I'm at. Like, Lord, can we get an exchange of water? You know, I mean, there's that attitude, or there's the attitude of like, holy cow, I only got a broken arm. Like, let me in that tub before they even get out, because that's what they're seeing and that's what they're experiencing. So once you have that down, I think you should start teaching classes. This is how we heal the lepers. And then attend the class where raise the dead. Now, what we have done a terrible job in the church of is we've put the word spiritual between the and dead. Raise the spiritual dead. Go after those that don't know Jesus. Bring salvation. And that's not wrong. But that word isn't in there. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Raise the dead. And the word is filled with testimonies, expressions of what that looks like. Now, if you don't know this about me, don't judge me. But I ask to be present in the morgue when friends or family or people I know. Would you allow me to just go in there and pray? Would you allow me to exercise my faith? And I've had a lot of no's, but to this date, I've had 11 yeses. My mom was one of them. When she passed away in the hospital, I asked my family to step out because Jesus had to remove some doubters. I knew my family wasn't there, so I removed them, and I spent a half hour. And when she didn't get up, I had to walk away and reconcile that. I've yet to see a dead person get up, but I'm determined to. And the only way we can do that is if we're putting ourselves in the presence. And what's unfortunate about our culture is that getting access to those that have passed away is very hard. Trust me. Like, even like having to build relationship with some of these mortuaries where they trust you enough to go, why do you want to be here? Oh, the family said I could be here. I know the family said you could be here, but why are you here? I want to see the dead raised. And then comes the emotional healing, because now you got to interpret raised eyebrows. You got to interpret the no's. You got to deal with the rejections. But again, I've learned a lot. There are things that I definitely won't do again. There are things that I want to hear the Spirit say. I've read a lot of testimonies, and I've tried to meet people that have seen the dead raised or have the same desire. But if you're not there raising the dead yet in your faith, stick with the living. Heal the sick. And the last one here, because this is not an exhaustive list, but what Jesus tells them to do. Hey, I gave you power to go do things. Cast out some demons. I mean, not cast out demons. Cast out demons. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Now, here's the thing that sometimes I tend to do, and I tried to be clear, like, I don't believe this is what Scripture intended. But as far as the level of difficulty, there is some challenges to casting out demons. Those of you laughing have obviously encountered this. Because demons have this nature about them that they like to hide. And they like to stay hidden behind masks. And one of their tactics is to convince you and I that that mask we're wearing is necessary. Keep it on. Keep it hidden. And they get a stronghold. And I don't know if you've ever weeded a garden, but if you just pull the leaves off like a dandelion, that dang thing comes back and then they multiply. And that's like the work of demonic oppression and demonic occupation, is that you can just pull the fruit off an apple tree. If you pick all the fruit off an apple tree, you didn't kill the apple tree. You just wasted a lot of fruit in its season. Next season, it'll be back. The word warns us, if you cast out a demon, but don't fill the house, fill the person, you've actually done more damage. Meaning, if you haven't discipled them, if you're not walking with them and inviting them to say, hey, you've repented, you've been set free, kingdom of heaven is at hand, follow me as I follow Christ. The word says that seven more will show up. So sometimes you see somebody demonically occupied, you might want to just leave them with their one demon. Otherwise, they'll end up with eight total. The one plus the seven that joined. And bring even more torment. And so again, if you're sitting here this morning, I'm going to assume that you want to move the heavens and bring the kingdom of God to earth. Now, if I don't see you next Sunday, I will still assume that and trust the Lord will do a work in all of us. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we are called to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received. What have we received? The power. The power. The power. Freely you have received the power. And so what I want to do in preparing to send us out, I want to introduce Valerie. Valerie, why don't you come on up this morning? You still with me? Some of you ready to move? How many, just out of curiosity, this isn't, step right up here. This isn't about, pride or anything, but how many of you have ever laid hands on somebody and seen them healed or prayed for somebody and they got healed? Yeah, come on. Amen. And those of you that don't have hands up, that's okay. It's not about that because you're doing other things and God's working in you. So for those of you that have raised your hands, where are you at today? Because chances are, something probably came along and just created a roadblock. Oh, I saw it. It was great. Oh, Lord, I'm busy now. But whatever moved you in that moment wasn't meant to be just a moment. It's meant to be a lifestyle. And one of the things that happened, and I've mentioned it a couple times today, and what we're going to do in preparing to send you out, is I'm going to ask my friend Valerie here to declare over us and just share and give us some context. Because there are roadblocks and landmines in our journey. They're numerous and identifiable. But one of them is what we call witchcraft. And witchcraft is the sin of rebellion. Whether it's in your personal life because you're rebelling against God, or whether it's the will of someone else to get you to do what they want rather than what God wants. Some of us have it happening in our lives and we don't even know it. Some of us are experiencing this lethargic sense or this inability to have the energy to get up and break through, not realizing that the enemy is on assignment to steal, kill, and destroy whatever energy, faith, or perspective we have. And so Valerie's going to share for a few moments this morning, and then I'm going to get up and I'm going to send you out of here. But we're going to exit this place in a very unique and different way, because what I want you to apprehend is not just the intellectual picture of this. I want you to know that we are called to not just be a church, but to be the kingdom of God. And we'll break down kingdom and church next week. But I want you to know that we gather here in just a small moment to go do the work out there. Amen. Would you honor Valerie and give her your attention?
Thank you, everybody. When I was asking God, well, do you have anything else for me to say this morning? He had a love message for you. So I'm going to say that for you. He said, my dear children, I am your God, Father of all creation. My heart is for my blessing to be within all my creation. Therefore, I will fly over the dust and give it life. I will cry over the waters and my life will be in it. I will cause the birds to sing and animals to lay at peace. They will lay with me. How much more do I love you, my children? So much more. Let me rejoice over you, free you from what has hindered you. For I seek a renewed covenant with you, one of peace and joy. Now, the Lord gave me a powerful declaration to say over you, but I need your interaction, okay? And when Jesus declared things, it's like he slammed the gavel down, you know? And he always did it with his voice, right? And many scripture says that he roared because he's the Lion of Judah and he roars. Well, he lives in us, and so we can roar. And he wants us to roar, to break off what is not of him. So that is what we're going to do. So as I read, there's three sections. As I read them, I'm going to roar, and I want you to scream and roar at the top of your lungs. And we will break off everything in this room. We will break off much from your family and even from this valley. We are going to change the frequency to heaven's frequency. We're going to kick hell out the door. Amen. All right? All right, here we go. All right, I am a prophet of Christ, and I operate in the power of Ancient of Days. I know that you are remote viewing to see us, but I prophesy that Jesus will meet you in the astral plane. Roar! The witchcraft over you is breaking. And the thief is being forced to return what he has taken. The chains to idols and altars are being cut. And the principalities that influenced you are now cut off. Roar! I prophesy over you life and hope to the glory of Jesus' name. Live in his peace. I love you. Father loves you.
Amen, Valerie. Thank you. So there's something that happens, right, when we activate. Now, I could have gotten up and led you through that, but the Lord didn't give me that word. He gave that to Valerie, right? Preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Many times you see people get up here, and we welcome that to a degree. It's not always an open mic, but there's assignments and there's timings. And so some of you might even be feeling like, oh my gosh, like, yes, there's something rattling me in me that needs to break off. There's something that wants to go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but fear's in the way, or uncertainty, or rejection, or past hurts, or maybe a pastor or a prophet came into your life and gave you a false word and you didn't know what to do with it. Those things are breaking off. And as Valerie is declaring and we're invoking the roar of heaven in our lives, not only are you going to see breakthrough today, but you are sowing seeds for generations to come, because the echo of time is still in the kingdom. It's moving. It's going forth. And so I want to send you out of here by asking a few people to stand at these doors. And I'm going to ask that everybody exit through these two center doors, because what I want to do is I want to create this celebration. I want to send you out of here. So Sean and Jennifer and the Pelletiers, if you take aside, the Coopers, if you take aside, Valerie and Ron, if you'd stand up and take aside. I also want to invite all four of you, Justice and Margaret, take aside. They're going to create like this tunnel. And listen, It's not about laying hands on you. I know I'm putting some of you on the spot. They're not going to prophesy over you. They're going to champion you and know that as you go out, you're called to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That you get to go out in the sound and the roar, breaking off the witchcraft, seeing transformation. I'm praying and believing that what we just did, which might seem like, oh, that was odd, a roar. Like, tomorrow, things will look different at work. Businesses, even right now, I just declare over you, I just saw you guys, I just see things being written that are now going to be new contracts and released for the Bovard family, new contracts. And we say those things that have been held up in the spirit are going to break and be released, and you will see writing come forth in the, like, I'm going to say this week, I see it this week, just new things being written and sealed in the name of Jesus. Where did Carolyn go? Carolyn, I also see over you in the name of Jesus Christ, the blessing and the beauty. Now I know this, that family's on its way, but that you have an opportunity to see the inheritance. Whatever fear that has been there that's saying, I don't know if I'm going to see certain things come to fruition, I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you before I ever take you off this earth, that you're going to see inheritances and you're going to see blessings. Lord, I thank you for Carolyn, and I release you in the name of Jesus to see those inheritance in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just thank you for Denny and Estelle. Lord, I thank you for the stewardship and the bringing forth of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And I declare, because I saw it earlier and I made a joke, but Lord, the sponge that they are, let it be wrung out. Let it begin to pour out all that they're carrying. Lord, let it begin to move beyond this valley. Let it begin to fill, Lord, the valleys and begin to raise the water table in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that, Lord, yours. I just feel like the Lord is saying, it's going to feel a little different. I'm going to start to ring a little different. And we welcome the change, right? We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Cody, yesterday I had a word for you and I let you slip away from me because I was fixing the toilet. So I didn't know what to do with my hands and stuff. But I felt like yesterday, I just thank you, Lord, that I saw that you have the hand of Cody, that he has offered up his hands and you have embraced him. And I feel like the hand of the Lord is going to start to manifest greater provision and greater wisdom. And I see in you diaries and journals of written word that now need to be released in spoken word. And I pray that your mouth would begin to open up and that the Lord is going to start to pull you into a greater light, a greater place where you're going to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because you have stewarded it in your journal. You have stewarded it in your prayer time. You have stewarded it in this intimate place. And so we say, Lord, pull him out. Pull him into this place. And that's a working of the Lord. That's a timing of the Lord. That's not a you thing, but it's a willingness on your part. And so we say, thank you, Lord, that your hand is in his hand and his hand is in your hand, and you're pulling him in the name of Jesus, brother. Thank you. Come on. I want to invite all of you to celebrate what God's doing right now. And I want you to head out. When you're done and you pass through this group of people that are just going to start to pray, they're just going to bless you. It shouldn't slow you down. It's not supposed to slow them down, but you lay a hand on them and let them out. Here's the thing. Once you go through that door, if you would like more prayer to break off things the Lord's showing you, to break off an aspect where the kingdom can be preached in your life like never before, I want you to come back in here and let people pray for you. The other invitation I want to give you, last Sunday night we entered into Yom Kippur. This week we entered into the Feast of Tabernacles. We walked through a new door. Sunday night we had a door in here with a threshold that many of us walked through. We set that door up in the Riverside room. If you feel like, Lord, I want to physically walk through a new door, that door is in the Riverside room and you are welcome to wander in there anytime. I walked in through it a couple times this week because I'm just wanting a new perspective. I'm wanting to walk into a new room. I'm wanting to walk into a new level of relationship. So I'm just using doors as a prophetic sign, a prophetic symbol, as a mental picture of, Lord, I'm walking into a new place. You are welcome to go and linger in there. If you want to show up early next Sunday to church, you are welcome to go and linger in there. We had people crying as they went through the doorposts. We had people just declaring new things. We had people come through it. Monday, Mark Haugen joined Shiloh Ministry, and he prophesied and ministered over every person that walked through the door like a papa and just loved on them. If you need a papa in your life, get to know Mark Haugen. He will love on you and show you a father's heart, as will many of the other men in our house. If some of you need a mama, get to know Linda Haugen. Get to know some of the other women in this house. Because the day of needing moms and dads is so upon us. So would you stand and please have an incredible week. Be blessed.